have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Right now, that's crazy.
Okay.
Well, here we are again on the Jadisa Social Media Live Podcast on social media as well as Blog Talk Relations Radio. I'm your host, Cynthia R. Bennett, and here on the Jadisa Live Podcast, we talk about issues. We talk about things that are important in dealing with abuse and the neglect in our community. Our platform is used to raise awareness, provide resources, and offer hope through educating, edifying, and encouraging. I want to thank you, our viewers, as well as our listeners, for coming on and listening and providing answers and asking questions. And we ask that if this podcast in any way, shape, form, or fashion, encourages you, we ask that you, your families or your friends or your associates, we are asking that you donate to this much needed cause that the Jadisa organization to help survivors and children. You can do this by going to our website at jadisa.org, hit the donate button. You can go to the PayPal me or the Jadisa org, or you can cash out at Jadisa STL. Your donations are fully tax deductible. But before we get started, remember this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Our campaigns throughout the month have been going through different awareness rallies, having events. One of the things, we had a lot of proclamations this week. We had various mayors, councilwomen come out, not only from the county, but as well as the city. So it's just been a wonderful thing to see the community come together. And that's what we are working on. That's what we are looking for. So I just want you all to know some of the things that we have going on. And I kind of want to read something out, if you don't mind. And I'm going to share this. Great. So, coming out this week, we always have Sister Strut. Sorry. We always have Sister Strut. And so now we decided, because it's getting ready to get dark early, it's going to get cold, we decided to put it on Zoom. And so it's going to be on Wednesday from 7 to 8. Why are you smiling?
It's exciting.
From 7 to 8. And for security reasons, you can go online to attend. You have to either call the 1-800 number or email info@jadisa.org before the session starts so that you can get your link, your Zoom link. Because we are actually going to put you in a waiting room and verify you are who you say you are, because we have to make sure that this is a closed-loop session. What we talk about is we want to keep the safety and the security of not only ourselves, but our clients and those who wish to come in for the Sister Strut Circle. So I want to share that with you tonight. You can also go to our webpage. It will be on our Jadisa webpage after this podcast. Also, there are some food drives that's coming up. And here's the different dates. They're all around the city in 3 different locations. So if you need to get any food or you know anybody that may need food, go on my website or the Jadisa page, Facebook page, and make sure you drive home. So I have this one at the Building Community at Martin Luther King. This one here is at Lively Stone Church of God down on St. Louis Avenue. And those are the dates and times, as well as Berea Early Presbyterian Church. So, again, I will have these on our social media page. So go to our first Facebook page where you can see
this information, like it, share, send it off. Somebody may need that information. So I just want to kind of share that with you before we go forward. You guys, let me know if you hear any feedback to the website, to the platform, because we're trying something different. And so my single blog talk radio, there is feedback. So if you can turn your sound all the way down to as well on your phone, even though we have our earphones on. So today we brought back somebody from last week. We're trying to fix this sound, but we still have some issues because someone is texting me from the Blog Talk Radio and the feedback. So we're going to have to figure this out. So I am not sure what we're going to do, but we're going to get it to you guys because we're about the community and we're about getting resources out there and talking about issues, okay? My thing is this. We always have issues. All of us have issues. All of us have problems. But we don't want our issues to have us, and we don't want our problems to have us. So we're going to talk it out, and we're going to talk about it, okay? So we have a young lady from last week, Ms. Keyanza Jones. She is with the Neighborhood Health Network.
Healing Network.
Healing. Neighborhood Healing Network.
Yes.
And she is going to talk to us about her organization, but also in talking with this young lady and when we met, she shared some things with us. She is also the victim, the female victim of those five people who were shot at the Normandy High School alumni bonfire in 2019, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. Okay, and because of that, she came up with dealing with trauma. So she's a part of this initiative that's in St. Louis, and we're going to talk about it. And then she's going to kind of share her story and some of the things that she's dealt with that maybe it can help our viewers who deal with trauma. And, you know, some of the things that we need to look out for, because some of us can be dealing with trauma and not even know it. You know, my trauma may not look like your trauma. Your trauma may not look like mine, but that don't mean we're not going through trauma. So, yeah, I just thank you for coming on to the podcast today. I really appreciate it. We're trying to come and fix this thing what we did last week, because a lot of people really enjoyed it, and they wanted to do part two, so this is like part five.
Right.
Super last week. So thank you for coming on to the Data for Life podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Like she said, I am Keyanza, and good evening, everyone. So last week we did talk about what happened to me at the bonfire. Against my better judgment, I decided to go. It was a lot of people. It was really nice. I will say that in the beginning, it was no problem until a fight broke out, and then they start shooting. And unfortunately, I was one of the ones that got shot. I got shot in the foot. I got shot in the foot. My whole foot was shattered. And unfortunately, the bullet is still in. It's lodged in my bone. So if they take it out, it's going to hurt worse. If they leave it in, it's going to hurt. Either way they go, they decided that they would let me, you know, determine how I would feel. So as of right now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's going to hurt. Can they take it out? So why would it hurt if they take it out?
So the reason why it would hurt if they would have taken it out is because I would develop arthritis sooner than later, because they would have to go in and they would have to drill the bullet out of my bone. And they say bone doesn't grow back. So they feel that arthritis would have set up sooner than later, opposed to leaving it in and arthritis setting up maybe later, and which... Well, it's probably a mixture with the Lord has said that no arthritis in your foot. So that has happened, and I haven't had any problems. The only problem I have had is trying to wear a shoe, because I do have, like, the tip of the bullet sticking out of my foot. So not being able to put on a full shoe has been my, you know, my situation. So I've had to have to wear open-toe shoes or a large boot like a UGG or something like that. So, but one today, the Lord is answering a lot of prayers, I should say. Today, I was able to wear a full tennis shoe. So we had, we had twin day today, and my good friend Leo that works with me, he bought me a tennis shoe, and I could fit it. We were dressed head to toe, and it was amazing. It was emotional, I will say. It was very emotional for me earlier, for me not being able to wear a full shoe. Some people may not think it's something, but to me, it was a lot. So I'm very grateful.
That's awesome, and so it's a process. You know, the healing is a process, which is what we talk about with abuse victims. You know, it's a process. You can't look at other people and see whatever they're going through and say, well, why I'm still going through this and why they're not going through it. It seems like they bounce back quicker. You know, everybody's bounce back is different.
Absolutely.
And you can't monitor that. And so, so let me ask you this. What was going through your mind this night of this bonfire? Because from my understanding, it happened late at night, around about 11:30 or something?
Yes. What was going through?
Had you just got there?
So, no, we've been there. We were there about maybe 8 or 9. So it was at the moment that it happened, I was thinking, Lord, let me be safe. Let me be out. Let me get out alive. It was so many guns. It was so many people shooting. It was so much gunfire. I can definitely relate to a person that's been to war. It was just that bad.
What caused all the gunfire? I mean, was it a fight? Was it some beef against one group against us? I mean, what was the reason? Because the way it sounded, like what you just saying, like you was in a war, it was multiple people shooting.
Absolutely. So apparently they had a fight that had breaking out. And we all know, you living in St. Louis, probably everybody there brought their gun with them. So when they started fighting, everybody just brought their guns out and started shooting. I don't know if they were shooting at each other. Some people say they were just shooting in the air. It was just crazy. But, yeah, I definitely can see or understand how somebody was at war. When you look at those movies and you see people down on the ground shooting and getting shot at, I definitely understand. Definitely.
So do you think you've had, I'm not speaking that into existence, but in the past,
yes.
Do you think when that happened, you kind of had some kind of form of PTSD then, when you were talking about you can understand a person that's been in war and probably jumping and jittery, you know, with bullets and stuff like that, you know, not knowing where they're coming from, where they're going, who's shooting, why they're shooting, you know, whether you're going to get out of it or anything. I mean, I can't even imagine the fear that was going on. So was it just you and your husband there, or you and your kids, your family? Or?
No, thank God it was just me and my husband there. And, yes, I believe that I had some type of PTSD from living in the city, hearing gunfire. But after that, I had full-blown PTSD, absolutely. I hate to say it, but COVID was the best thing to happen to me. When people had to stay in the house and I didn't have to go anywhere, I loved it. I didn't have to be around anybody. I was still dealing with PTSD.
So share with our viewers and our listeners, you know, what are some of the things you dealt with because you said you felt like because of that incident you had developed that disease or disorder?
Mm-hmm. So I knew that, well, let me say this. I did not know I had PTSD until I seen a therapist. So the thing that bothered me was I couldn't look at, you know, like anything bad that was happening. I was just crying for no reason. And I was starting to ask myself, like, why am I crying? I couldn't hear about, you know, anybody that died, anybody that got shot. I couldn't take any negative or bad news, none whatsoever.
Okay. So has it gotten better?
Absolutely. I've been doing a lot of prayer. God has definitely, well, I was thankful that he saved me. So absolutely, it has gotten a lot better. Now I'm able to be around large crowds. But I will say, working with my therapist and a lot of prayer and my family praying for me, it's been a tremendous thing. Like, I'm able to talk about it now. At first, it's not funny, but it is. People say, oh, what happened to your foot? I was like, oh, I broke it. Or, I hurt it. Or I would never say, oh, I got shot. That was just so embarrassing.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you this. You said you've gotten better, and so can you share with our viewers, I know you said with prayer and everything, so what somebody that's going through that, dealing with that, whether they're on a spiritual level or they understand, the spiritual aspect of it or the holistic piece of it, what can you do? So how did the Neighborhood Healing Network come about? I mean, because you're part of it, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's something that's really dear to you because mm-hmm. you've dealt with trauma. And again, a lot of people deal with trauma every day. And sometimes we deal with it for so long, it becomes a new normal for some people where they just learn how to cope.
Absolutely. So the new initiative came from Arches. Arches created a new initiative with several other hubs. One was Father Support. What was the other one? Better Family Life, Boys and Girls Club, Mission St. Louis, and Urban League. So we all have come together as a collaborative team to assist clients somewhat, maybe in my situation, and some situations are not as fortunate as mine. So we just come together and help anybody that has been dealing with some type of trauma through gun violence, domestic violence, or carjacking or hit and runs. And hit and run means someone hit your family member, possibly hurt them or harmed them, and kept going. So what we do, we work closely with the client. We also refer them to crime victims to get some counseling services. And when I say work closely with them, it's basically kind of like a life coaching, I can say, because they do. They call and they are requiring or needing desperately someone that understands them. So I have so many clients that say, I'm going through this. I heard your story. I understand how you feel. How can I get past this? How do I, go towards feeling better? And I also tell them that just because I was injured, my family was affected as well. My daughter, my son, I talk about my son when he was in football. He was in college in Florida playing football, and his coach was just saying, something's going on with him. What's going on? And I had to tell him, his coach, that I was shot. And his coach, Hale, he was just silent for a second. I'm pretty sure he probably was thinking, like, if that was my mother, I would react the same way. So I also encourage clients to talk to their children, get their children some help, because my children needed the help also.
I'm glad you mentioned that about therapy because, in the Black community, that's almost like a taboo, you man up. Or you just deal with it or whatever. And so the service that you're talking about, is this stuff free?
Yes, the services are free. And you can reach me at the Fathers and Family Support Center. We are downtown at 1601 Olive Street, 16 and Olive. And the phone number there is 314-333-4170. And my extension is 120. So, yes, we get phone calls, especially when we have our classes, because I go and talk to each one of our fathers and mothers' class. And when I leave, someone calls and say, hey, Ms. Jones, my family needs you. My friend, he got shot. He needs to talk to you. And when I tell you, they talk to me and they say, hey, I've never told anyone else this, but I feel so much better. Even just, getting it out, because a lot of times we don't want to share what happened to us because we know we fear retaliation. We fear so many other things because we living in the Black community, and that's what they think is normal. So I encourage anybody, if you're dealing with something, reach out, talk to somebody that you feel safe with.
Awesome. So you did give your information, your phone number and stuff, but did you give the website that they can go to, as well as your contact? Like if they go to the Fathers and Support,
mm-hmm.
did you give them that information as well?
So they can go to the Fathers and Family Support Center at fathersupport.org, And we do have an NHN tab there. The NHN tab has everything that they need, my contact information, my email, my phone number, the address, anything that they may need is right there on the Internet.
Awesome. Okay, so let me ask you this. You say they should talk to their kids. There are some notable changes. Did you see in your daughter, or did somebody have to say something to you? Did she act like she functioned every day and everything? I mean, or did the attitude change, the behavior change? Was she withdrawn or anything?
So, yeah, and her attitude change. Also, COVID had a lot to do with her being isolated in her room doing homeschooling. So I just started to ask her questions, like, what's going on? And she finally opened up and said that when they told her that I was shot, she thought I was dead. So after that, I talked to the counselors. We collaborated and tried to get her some help, did a lot of testing, and it did show that she was testing high on the scale for trauma.
Okay. You got the ACE?
Yes.
Okay.
They did, well, not per se, but they did a lot of other tests, and trauma was definitely one of the high ones. And I couldn't, like I said, I was dealing with, you know, trying to heal myself, and I'm just thinking that everybody is okay. So when they kept saying, you know, something happened 2 years ago that's making her, you know, really high on the trauma scale, and I was like, I don't know. So, well, let me, you know, let me finish working, and I'll call you back. So I thought about it, and I was like, oh, my God, how could I forget that? And I called her back, and I was like, I hate to say it, it's embarrassing, but 2 years ago I got shot. And she was like, oh, man. So they started, you know, doing different things, having the counselor call her, which I will say it happened. It did great for her. She's doing so much better with prayer and, you know, just getting back into the daily routine. She's doing a lot better.
That's awesome. And so I want to talk about that. Of course, prayer changes everything, of course, and I'm I am a big prayer warrior myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but because we're a community-based organization, we deal with the community,
mm-hmm.
which is all groups of people.
Yeah.
Some may be believers, some may not be believers, some may not know what to believe. What are some other things that you can do until you get to that where you can see someone? Something like meditating or, you know, watching a movie or going to the park and looking at greenery. What are some of the things that can kind of bring that stress level down a little?
So
they speak to someone that they can talk to, they can help them work through the trauma.
So those are one of the things that I do with the clients kind of one-on-one, give them tips and other things like self-care, help them to create boundaries. Because when you're going through trauma, if you don't feel like talking about something, it may take you back. You have to learn boundaries with people because they won't know. I have to often tell them they don't understand what you're going through. They just don't. They try, but they can't because they've never been in your situation. So you have to get them to understand that, so then you will feel better because you will feel like, hey, nobody ever understands me. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand how I feel. Because it's a mental thing. You know, it really takes a toll on your mind, especially when something happens that you never thought that would happen a day in your life. So, yeah.
Or you think about why me or why
did
this happen to me? You kind of question yourself and try to go back and think. And so that part, and I want to bring that because I know we have some viewers that may not have been shot
mm-hmm.
or gone through that type of trauma, but they've gone through trauma as far as domestic abuse, neglect, verbal abuse, even in a marriage or, you know, maybe it's not just a marriage, maybe it's in a sibling fighting
yeah.
together or even in a household where one sibling was favorite over the other and then
mm-hmm.
there's caused some friction and stuff. And it brings some trauma.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes we talk about you have to know your triggers because something is always triggered. So has that ever been any triggers for you that something happened and it just takes you back?
Absolutely. The 4th of July and New Year's Eve always takes me back. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely. And the clients that I speak to that have been shot, they have the same thing. It says
so
gunfire.
So you're saying the 4th of July and the New Year's is not the same anymore for you as far as celebratory?
No, not at all. I'm going to be in the house, in the basement, because I feel that, you know, I will be safe there. Because, like they always say, bullets don't have a name on them, and I believe that. So I try to get myself to a safe place where there is no situations, no problems. So just by myself in the basement. But my
volunteer, how can a person partner with you or partner with the Neighborhood Healing Network? They're not an organization. They're just a person. They maybe been through some trauma or they've healed themselves and they want to heal. How can they come in and partner or be a part of that organization as a volunteer?
Yes, we are definitely always looking for volunteers because right now it's a one-person show. So I am assisting clients. I am trying to get the word out. So if they want to help and volunteer and come and help pass out flyers, go to events, they can definitely either email me at kjones@fathersswithansupport.org or they can come down to the office at 1601 Olive Street, St. Louis, downtown St. Louis. Or they can call me, 314-333-4170, extension 120, and I can get them connected to our HR department and we can start the process.
Awesome, awesome. So do you think they would be beneficial to maybe participate in one of support groups just to see how you handle the group, of course not the one-on-one, but when you have a group circle or something, just to see, to get the feedback, to see what people are doing, how you're responding, you know, because it's going to help them as well, you know. So is that part of the process, you know, how from the beginning till they call you to get in the door and they start volunteering, what does that look like?
So it just depends on the volunteer. Some people say, hey, I don't want to be in the field, which means they don't want to go out or pass out flyers. Some volunteers, because I've had one volunteer sit in on with me and a client, and it just depends whatever is basically the best for the volunteer. Some people can't handle what I do. It is a lot. So they'll say, hey, I just think that I want to pass out flyers after they didn't heard about the fifth person getting shot or somebody's son getting murdered. They're like, hey, Ms. Jones, I just read the pass out flyers. So it just depends on what the person can handle.
Okay. I do understand. And I know it's, you know, in the field, I mean as well. I do understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you said something that I kind of raised the eyebrow for me. You said that sometimes the volunteers will sit in on a one-on-one session with you. Isn't it? How do you all deal with that with confidentiality?
So we ask the client, is it okay? We let them know, hey, the volunteer is here to get the full experience, because we also have volunteers at the Fathers and Family Support Center, and we just let them know, hey, they're here to get the full experience. Is it okay? Are you comfortable? Or, you know, is it safe for you to talk in front of them? And they'll let me know. But I will say this. It is definitely not the first initial meeting that I have with a client. It's normally probably like the third or fourth one where they are, you know, at this point they have worked on some things, so they're more stable. So it definitely wouldn't be the first one because I don't think anybody can do that part.
So have you had one client that you walked them through the process where you have seen the growth meaning the process of healing. Well, when they first came in, they might have been in just shambles and just grumbling and just emotions all over the place. But now you've seen them move towards the healing process where they are able to they're able to talk through their experience. And it not give them the same effect as it was when they first came in. Have you had one client that you went through that whole process besides you that went through that same process that, you know, that the program is going the way you desire and the way you intend it to go.
Absolutely. I have so many clients that call in the beginning and they're crying and they're hurt, and the trauma could have happened, like me, 2, 3, 5 years ago, but it's still fresh because the wound was never closed. So, yes, I have clients that say, hey, I'm so – they're not glad I got shot, but they're glad they can speak to me about being shot because they were shot. So, yeah, we kind of – we definitely work through, you know, situations and things so they can be at a more stable mind frame. Absolutely. And they'll say – I was all over the place. This took me, you know, all this time until I met you, and now I'm able to, you know, actually think and process everything regular. So, yeah, absolutely. They will call and say that. And they, I have them do a survey, and the survey was, hey, like, hey, Ms. Jones really helped me. I was really struggling. Yeah, they definitely say that.
So have you guys had a phone call where you have asked some of the people that's probably right here can hear the whole process of somebody else that's been through what they're going through, and they can say, well, hey, well, you know what, if they're okay, then I know there's, you know, there's some healing for me. I can see the end. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Do you have any of those people that come back and share, say, hey, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel. Of course, you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But just when you hear other people that's gone through the program and say, hey, yeah, Ms. Jones, yeah, this, I was this, but now, you know, I'm able to cope and move forward.
So we are working on that, but due to COVID, we can't have a lot, you know, we just can't gather a lot now. It's so many restrictions. And, yes, in the future,
I know,
we are.
I know everybody's zoomed out because
we're Yes, everybody is zoomed out. Oh, my goodness. I'm zoomed out. Everybody is. But, yes, no, we are currently working on that. But we do have other sessions that are going on. But, of course, they're Zoom. But it's more for people that have family members that died in gun violence. So it's like a grief therapy, and a lot of clients say that it's really, really good. But with healing, you have to be in a certain place to take group with grief. So not everybody is at the same level. It does. It takes steps to start to heal. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And but it's just good to know that there's somebody out there that can share. And not only that you can share, you can say, I've been there, I know what you're feeling, I know how, you know, the psyche is, you know, even in my situation, when I get up to speak and I tell about how I was a survivor of abuse from my first marriage, and I understand mm-hmm. the psyche that abuse victims go through, I understand the trauma and all of that stuff, I understand it, the dynamics of it,
mm-hmm.
because I've lived it.
Yes.
And, you know, and so it's good that, you know, we have people out there. So let me ask you this. How long has the Neighborhood Health...
Healing. Neighborhood Healing Network been around?
Neighborhood Healing Network. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wrote it down. How long have you guys been... Because you said this came out of Arch. What is Archway?
Arches. So Arches is also a not-for-profit organization that they have their own group sessions as well. They also hold buildings. You may know what Arches is. It's on Grand. It's in that small building right there on the corner. They have different offices in there.
Grand is a long way.
So part where Sweetie Pies is on the...
Oh, down there by the Fox.
Yes. Yes, they are directly by the Fox. Actually, I think their building is, like, connected to the Fox on the back. Across from that parking lot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have they been there long?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So
yeah, Arches has been around a while.
What session? Is there a certain number? You know, like some therapy sessions, some free. I've sent people to other organizations who provided, like, 10 free therapy sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a number? going to sessions? So, okay, this is groups you're talking about. What if somebody needs one-on-one with a certified service? Do you all provide that as well?
Yes. So we provide that with crime victims. So what we do is we contact crime victims and say we have a client that has been going through some trauma due to gun violence. And they call them and they set up sessions and they do an intake and they set up sessions with them.
Okay, so you guys do refer and partner with other organizations as well.
Absolutely, yes, ma'am. Crime victims.
Awesome. So, okay, so I have another question.
Okay.
How can another, because you guys say you have hoods, right?
Yes.
Get a Family Life, Boys and Girls Club, Mission St. Bob's and Support, and I can't think of the fifth one, Urban League.
Urban League, yes.
So how can another nonprofit partner with you guys?
So artists would have to make that decision. So if they want to partner with us, they can contact me and I will get them to who they need to speak with. Brittany Raffer is the person that's over Arches. So, yeah, I will have to discuss that with her.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is a good question because they always ask that.
Well, yeah, always ask because, you know, we're a collaboration of efforts. You came out to thank you for coming out to the vigil, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you were able to get to meet the politicians, the elected officials, you know, because, you know, it's a community effort. What
yeah.
I do, our organization, what all the other organizations we deal with, partner with, collaborate with, you know, this is a community effort.
Yes.
And I always tell the people I'm talking to, JADASA is a community-based organization. You're the community, so therefore you're JADASA. I want people to take ownership of JADASA because I want them to say, hey, this is the organization that's for me to take ownership, you
yeah.
know. And so, and that's the only way we are going to be able to make a serious footprint in St. Louis is when all the social services agencies come together to be a resource for every avenue, you know. If I have something I can't do, okay, you need to go contact Kianja Jones because, you know, this was abused, but maybe this person died at the hands of the abuser.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, the families grieving, kids grieving and stuff like that, that was a crime.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we need to partner with somebody else because we want it to be a holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Because not one organization got it all.
Mm-hmm. And that is definitely...
This is not a one-stop shop.
Right.
One organization. We have different people because we have to get in the habit and we have to understand that we need to heal families.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to heal families because so go the family, so go the community.
Yes. And if anybody is watching and they have a resource because so many need it, you know, now the children are getting younger, and now we're needing therapists for play therapy, you know, for the children that can't speak, but they have seen some things. These children see a lot. They see their mother being
yeah.
murdered. They see a lot. So I would
they're,
just say
they're
that.
They're exposed to a lot of stuff that I have never been exposed to.
Absolutely.
That's some of the conversations I listen to and I hear them say, you know, I have to keep a straight face, like the Bible says, make your face like flint. I have to keep a straight face because I don't even want them to know how shocked. There's some of the stuff that comes out their mouth, like, first of all, you don't even really know your ABCs that well.
Absolutely.
How did you even know how to put those words together like that to know that's the way it's supposed to be or that's what you're trying to inflict? You know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's mind-boggling. But we have to reach our families, and it's about that, and it's about educating. And that's what Jonathan is doing. We actually had a young man that approached me and my husband the other day, and they said that even when I was up speaking about domestic violence and talked about it, they just said they have a whole new outlook on it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's what educating is about, educating people. Understand because our thing is we don't want you to just get out the home, go to a shelter,
yes.
and there is no reforming of the mind. There is no new information replenishing of the mind, because guess what? If there's no replenish, you're going to go back and do the same thing.
Fall into the same
right?
thing. Yes,
ma'am. And different results. And they say that's considered insanity.
Yes.
Keep doing the same thing, but expecting different results. And so now we have to communicate and educate, edify, and build them up. Educate you, edify you, build you up, and encourage you to go on so you can share with somebody else. And that's what we as need to do as a community in all of these communities, come together. And I believe something is on the horizon. I think what we did with the shattering the silence, stopping the violence, all of that, all the agencies coming together and talking to elected officials, I believe now is the time. This is the Kairos moment. And I say it all the time. This is the Kairos moment. I always say this is the Kairos moment for women. But it's the Kairos moment for us to exact change. Because now, you know, we're not hearing words no more. We need action.
Absolutely.
Open your pocketbook. You got money. The people in the community, you know, we don't need you to come up and say things and then the people go back and, you know, live the same way. Those days are over.
Yes.
And so I think what we're doing today and coming together to with a holistic approach, dealing with the mind, body, and the soul.
Yes.
I think that's what's needed very much so.
Absolutely. And trying to provide those wraparound services.
Yeah, yeah. So anybody that's listening that's on this podcast, you know, if you have any information or any questions you want to answer, I'm going to ask Kianga to give her information again. And also, you can also share this video or this podcast. It's on our Jotso Facebook page. It's on my Facebook page since you've been it, and I believe it's on Kianga. Is it Kianga Jones?
Yes.
What's your Facebook page?
Kianga Jones.
Kianga Jones Facebook page. Share this out to other people that you know that may, because you know, we know crime is on. They already said St. Louis is up there. We may not be number one, but we up there with crime and victim crimes and stuff. So share this podcast. We got resources. We're here. If we can get you the information, we definitely can refer you to the right people so we can get the help that's needed in the community, because the people need the help.
Absolutely.
The people need the help. When you deal with something so long, I believe that's where mental illness come in.
Yes.
Stuff that hasn't been dealt with and just exacerbated and thrown under the rug and covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, I think that's just how mental illness is just formed. You know, one of the reasons.
Yes.
Because unresolved issues.
Absolutely. That family secret.
Give me your information again.
Okay, so I'm Kianga Jones. I am down at the Fathers and Family Support Center, and my program is the Neighborhood Healing Network, 1601 Olive Street, downtown. The number is 314-333-4170, extension 120. My email is kjones@fathersswithansupport.org, and you can also go to our website at fathersupport.org.
Awesome. So, again, if you know anybody that's dealing with some type of trauma from gun violence, trauma from domestic violence, trauma from abusive home, trauma from neglect, whatever kind of trauma, reach out.
Yes.
Reach out. And also, of course, because we are dealing with domestic violence, we are dealing with abuse. Abuse comes in all forms. We are dealing with neglect that's in the community. If you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence and abuse, we ask you to call the hotline number at 1-800-799-7233, or you can call the hotline.org. I am going to leave you with this scripture. I always go with the scripture because that's just who I am. And that scripture is Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." He was talking to Jeremiah. And that's thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What he is saying is, God told him that he is thinking good thoughts of us. Good thoughts. Thoughts of peace. He's not thinking evil thoughts towards us. He's thinking good thoughts because he wants to give you the end that you expect. end is not what you're expecting now. The end of a season, the end of a job, the end of a relationship, the end of a dream or whatever it is, aspiration. God says he wants to give you the end that you expect. So there's still hope. Again, I want you to know that Jotapa is a community-based organization. You are the community. Therefore, you are Jotapa. Remember, it's Jotapa 24/7, 365 days, all day, every day. I want you to be safe. I want you to be well. And I want you to be whole. And with that being said, good night.
Yeah, okay. No, I can't see. We still live.
Okay.
Okay.